Everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, we're in LifeWord Studios broadcasting in over 171 languages to 127 countries to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Today, we want to talk about, again, one of the most sensitive and heartbreaking issues affecting individuals and families today. This is part 2 of a series talking about suicide. According to the World Health Organization, 700,000 people commit suicide every year. That's one person every 40 seconds. In the U.S., it is one person every 11 minutes. We all will be in contact with someone who has died by suicide. And I know that this is not a subject that we want to talk about, but is painful and necessary. But how do we as Christians comfort those who have lost family or friends to suicide? It's not an easy topic. It's not one we can reduce to cliches or tidy answers. Suicide is a tragedy, and it leaves behind deep wounds. It leaves questions, guilt, confusion, and grief that feels overwhelming. And for those who remain, parents, siblings, spouses, friends, there are often no words that even feel adequate. But in these moments, our role as the body of Christ becomes more vital than ever. As followers of Jesus, we are called to bear one another's burdens and so to fulfill the law of Christ, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And that includes walking with those who grieve suicide with tenderness, truth, and compassion. So today I want to talk about how we comfort those people, how we comfort those who have lost loved ones or friends to suicide. The first thing that we must get right is our posture. When someone is grieving the loss of a loved one to suicide, they do not need a theologian. They need a friend. Job's friends did one thing right at the very beginning. They came and they sat with him in silence for 7 days. It was only when they started talking that things went wrong. In times of tragic loss, especially suicide, we must resist this urge to explain the unexplainable. We cannot presume to know why someone made that final devastating decision. And we must not offer platitudes like everything happens for a reason or God must have needed another angel. And these phrases, while well-intended, can inflict more harm than healing. I recently attended a funeral of a young lady who was 18 years old. She had been in a wheelchair her entire life. She had a neurological disease where half of her brain was missing. She was nonverbal. She required 24-hour care. And at the funeral, someone told the mother, "Your daughter is in a much better place." And while that was well-intended, the mother took that personally, that the care that she gave was not adequate. We have to be careful what we say and how we say it. Instead, we come humbly. Say, "I don't know what to say, but I'm here." Say, "I'm so sorry. I cannot imagine the pain that you're in, but I'm not going anywhere." I want you to remember, grief is not something to be fixed. It's something to be carried. And we carry it together. We often underestimate the power of just simply showing up. The Gospel of John, when Mary and Martha are mourning the death of their brother Lazarus, Jesus comes. He doesn't come with answers at first. He comes with presence. He weeps with them. John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but perhaps one of the most profound. It tells us that the Son of God does not stand apart from our suffering. He steps into it. He is Emmanuel, God with us, even in our grief. So when someone loses a loved one to suicide, we reflect Christ most when we offer presence over performance. That means showing up to the funeral, making that phone call, sending that mail, and checking in long after everyone else has gone quiet. I often say at funerals, the next few days will be the most trying, because after the funeral today, most of the family will go back home. Your friends will return to normal life. You may have to go back to work as if nothing ever happened. We have to remember to check in on these people. Stand in the gap, show up for them. But it also means to listen. Listen deeply. Listen patiently. Let them tell their story. Let them cry, or let them say nothing at all. Let them ask the hard questions. You are not there to fix it. You just have to be there. I don't know how many times someone has come to my office and they've sat on my couch and just cried. Or they've come and sat on my couch and just sat there in silence. This is the ministry of presence. It's what Jesus offers us, and it's what we offer to each other. As believers, we hold a tension that is both challenging and beautiful. We grieve. We grieve deeply, yet we grieve with hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." I want you to notice there, it doesn't say we do not grieve. It says we don't grieve like those who have no hope. Grief is not a betrayal of our faith. It's part of our faith. Jesus grieved. Paul grieved. We are allowed to mourn, but we also know that death does not have the final word. This brings us to one of the hardest questions Christians face when comforting loss of suicide. What happens to the soul of someone who takes their own life? And that's a delicate question, but we must answer with truth, but truth wrapped in love, wrapped in humility and compassion. There was a lady at a church I pastored who her son died by suicide. And every Sunday morning without fail, she would ask me, "Do you think my son went to hell?" And I would tell her, Scripture teaches us that salvation is by grace, not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It also teaches us that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Suicide is not the unforgivable sin. God alone knows the heart. He understands the mental anguish that can cloud a person's judgment. He sees the full story. He sees the pain, the brokenness, the moments that no one else ever sees. We can entrust our loved ones to a just and merciful God, one who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, according to Psalm 103:8. To those who are grieving, it's okay to ask. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to lament. And to those comforting them, your role is not to declare a verdict, but to remind them of who God is. He's our healer, our redeemer, and the one who binds up the brokenhearted. So let me share a few practical ways that we can walk with people through this unique type of grief. The first thing that we must do is acknowledge the loss. Even if it's uncomfortable, acknowledge the loss. Do not avoid the topic. Say their loved one's name. Acknowledge it. Give space for complicated emotions. When someone loses someone to suicide, it often comes with guilt, shame, anger, even confusion. Don't try to just tidy that up. Just honor their reality. Offer specific help. Instead of "let me know if you need anything," say things like, "Can I bring dinner on Tuesday?" Or, "I'll be there to walk you through the service planning." Just show up. Many times people will not ask you for anything. Some of the most tender times of ministry have happened when people showed up. They saw a need in the house. Maybe the trash needed to be taken out, or the dishes done, or the laundry. The everyday things in the household that often become neglected in times of grief. They didn't ask. They just got in there and did it. Those are the most tender parts of ministry to one grieving. Remember important dates. Remember the birthday, the anniversary of the loss, the holidays. These are often the hardest days. A text, a phone call, a card, a visit can mean the world to these people. We must encourage professional support. Pastors are important, but so are counselors. We must, as Christians, normalize therapy. We must normalize support groups and mental health care. Encourage people to get help where they need help. And we should pray. We should pray in private. But I believe we should pray out loud. Pray for peace. Pray for peace, for healing, for God's presence to be near. And let them hear you pray. Let them hear the words that you are speaking to God on their behalf. It reminds them. It reminds them that they are not alone. Imagine if the church was the safest place on earth to grieve suicide. Imagine a community where no one suffers in silence, where mental health is not stigmatized, but people find hope instead of judgment. We can be that church, and we are called to be that church. We follow a Savior who came not for the healthy, but for the broken. Not to the righteous, but for the sinners. Not for the strong, but for the weary. He came for us, and through Him, we go to them. Today, to the one grieving, I want you to know that God sees you. He knows the depths of your sorrow, and He is not afraid of your questions or your pain. Psalm 34, verse 18 tells us, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Know that your questions before God can be asked. Somewhere along the line, we were told that we cannot question God. I think that that was painted with a broad brush. What that means is we do not question His sovereignty, but we can ask God questions. We can ask why. We may never know the why, but He will give us comfort. He will give us peace that passes all understanding. So if you're grieving today, know that God sees you. If you are the one doing the comforting, be the hands and the feet of Jesus, not with perfect words, but with real love. Real love. We may not know what to say. We may not know what to do, but we can show up. As Christians, we're not immune to tragedy, but we do not face it alone. In the face of suicide, we do not offer easy answers, but we do offer eternal hope. We don't minimize the pain, but we magnify the comfort of Christ. We don't try to explain the unexplainable, but we walk with those in darkness, holding the light. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Be a part of that promise today. Let His hope be the comfort to a hurting world. Whatever you're dealing with today, know that God is near. It's okay to not be okay. However you feel, it's okay to feel that way. Just don't unpack and live there. You can find us at lifeword.org. Find all of our Christian content there. Find me at the.brian.com. Thank you for listening today. Don't give up hope. And we'll see you soon. Goodbye.